Hi, I'm Richard Karn, and you may have seen me on TV talking about the world's number one expandable garden hose. Well, the brand new Pocket Hose Copperhead with Pocket Pivot is here, and it's a total game changer. Old-fashioned hoses get kinks and creases at the spigot, but the Copperhead's Pocket Pivot swivels 360 degrees for full water flow and freedom to water with ease all around your home. When you're all done, this rust-proof anti-burst hose shrinks back down to pocket size for effortless handling and tidy storage. Plus, your super light and ultra-durable pocket hose Copperhead is backed with a 10-year warranty. What could be better than that? I'll tell you what, an exciting radio exclusive offer just for you. For a limited time, you can get a free pocket pivot and their 10-pattern sprayer with the purchase of any size Copperhead hose. Just text WATER to 64000. That's WATER to 64000 for your two free gifts with purchase. W-A-T-E-R to 64000.
By texting 64000, you agree to receive recurring automated marketing messages from Pocket Hose. Message and data rates may apply. No purchase required. Terms apply. Available at pockethose.com/terms.
Passion is one of the things that you need to have to survive in this industry. Now, how do you become a master of material? You will have to have an R&D at the start of your startup itself, basically to understand the type of material. What is it that can be done with that material, and what is the process and the output that comes in, for which applications the output, the resource recovered material can be utilized. And that understanding needs to be developed from day one. So this is an industry, unlike the manufacturing industry, where you do competition surveys and identify gaps in the market and manufacture products that fits in the requirements of consumers. Here, every product that you receive, you need to know which industry, your downstream industry players' requirement is, and the quality requirements and quantity requirements. Based on that, you reverse engineer your processes and define your engineering completely. Only then you will be successful in the industry.
That is the voice of a sector specialist who has set up multiple recycling businesses. Stay tuned for an insightful conversation. Hello and a big warm welcome to yet another podcast episode on the Mission Shunya channel. I hope you're doing well. Shunya means zero for all the new listeners who are tuning into the show for the first time. I am really excited to bring to you yet another insightful conversation around the zero carbon transition. And I hope you are equally excited. But before we get there, just quick reminders and requests. Episode 100 is coming up in less than 100 days. Let me know your feedback on the first 100 episodes. The easiest way to do that is post a review or rate the podcast on any platform like Spotify, iTunes, or any other channel that you listen to this on. If you want to send a personal note, missionshunya@gmail.com is the ID. Feedback is always welcome. Well, your ratings and reviews on any platform actually helps in the show's discoverability. It'll help the show stand out in like thousands of other podcasts available on the platforms. Thanks in advance for that. You would have noticed a new cover art for this episode. Well, it is thanks to Jacob and team at Terra Generation. TerraGeneration.com is a content agency specialized in telling stories in climate, biodiversity, and sustainability. Thanks to their team for the beautiful artworks that you see on the podcast. Now, on to this week's theme. Well, it's increasingly turning to be one of my favorites in the wider sustainability space, because of the global supply chain crisis and recent geopolitics. The net zero transition will depend heavily on how we manage resources. We can't exploit our natural resources without having a plan to close the loop through upcycling or recycling. Today's guest is an expert when it comes to setting up and scaling up recycling businesses. On this episode, we discuss more about the landscape in India, the role of informal sector, and why process is more important than technology. Without further delay, Who is our guest and what does his organization exactly specialize in?
Hi, this is ALN Rao, Chief Executive Officer of Exigo Recycling Private Limited. We as an organization, who's a decades old organization, trying to offer solutions to the world in the fields of e-waste and plastics and lithium-ion batteries, EV batteries, solar, CFL, PCBs, precious metals, so on and so forth. We basically are a low carbon value chain materials company with a huge investment in R&D and trying to be a global player, trying to offer solutions to the world in rare earth metals, precious metals, and ferrous and non-ferrous base metals too.
So let's start the conversation by looking at your journey. I mean, you've been in the recycling space for a long time now, but I'm sure when you got started, that was not your first choice. So how did you transition into this and what really got you interested into recycling when you started with recycling?
Well, the passion that was always there, Girish, was with electronics and, more into electronics at a very young age and started working for brands and products and different types of electronic products. The evolution of electronic products over the years, fascinated and developed a great sense of belonging in the industry. And from there onwards, more into retail of electronics, trying to be in face-to-face with the end consumers at the retail stores. And that's where the journey began in a very big way. Pan India was able to do a lot of good things in the retail space of electronics. And then from there onwards, got the opportunity to move to the other side of service. And servicing was a very nascent industry. And it's only in the last two decades, the service industry actually started picking up in the electronic space too, for that matter.
Correct.
But in the last decade or so, I would say that the problems with climate change, the problems with, air, water, lifestyle. I mean, the entire world was moving to a lifestyle change. And so do were the new problems that were coming up. And that's where recycling got the fascination. And hence, more than a decade back, actually ventured into recycling. And that's how, from a retail, from an electronics production to manufacturing, to retail, to service, and finally to the last mile of recycling. That's where I come in and currently am there in this particular space doing good.
That's an interesting journey. Well, when you look back and trace that journey, you've been through all the part of the value chain, like giving the electronics and other components to the end consumer. And then after a point, you kind of realized, what is the consumer doing with it? Where is he disposing? And what happens to the thing after he's disposed? So it's your basically then going from retail to then closing the loop again to extracting things out of the discarded waste. Now, you've been in the space for a long time, more than a decade plus, and that period has really seen the growth or emergence of recycling market in India. From your perspective, how has this journey in the last decade been in the space or from a market perspective?
Yeah, the evolution has been there continuously. And when nobody knew what recycling was all about, and the government of India actually, in the last two decades, got into this subject, understood whatever it could, and started bringing in laws, introducing new rules into the country. And initially, the players who were, all the stakeholders who were associated with the recycling of electronics were actually, or any other product per se, actually not in sync with the actual rules or the requirements. Most of the brands, producers out there have been in the recycling space worldwide. But since India being in a very nascent stage and a developing country and not really being looked at as far as the regulations are concerned or implementation of the rules are concerned, so it was a very, very taken lightly, I would say. And but slowly and steadily, the evolution happened, the understanding came in. On the e-waste side, the rules started coming in 2011-12. And then in 2016, that's where the uptick happened for the country of introduction of the extended producer responsibility rules, EPR rules, I would say, and then the amendments. But simultaneously, the plastics waste management rules, the resource recovery rules, the battery rules, the multiple product categories where this recycling rules were announced. And hence, in the last decade or so, it's been a, I would say, in buckets of 5 years, if I were to say, I think the country has grown 2x times on not only on waste generation, but also as far as compliances and regulations are concerned.
Correct. As you rightly said, this buckets of 5 years, if we were to see, because unfortunately, for large part, most of the policies and regulations were in draft stage for a long time, multiple years, in fact. And you have been in a lot of government bodies kind of talking about the need for policies and regulations in this space. So at this moment, do you think the entire piece around policy and regulation, is it really shaping up?
In fact, I'm so happy with the last set of rules that came in the last 5 years' time. And a couple of years back, Niti Aayog, under the direction of the PMO's office, Niti Aayog took up a particular project of around 10, 11 verticals in the waste management, understand the different waste management verticals, and what's the way forward. That was a project that was taken up. And that, with multiple stakeholders participating in each of these verticals across the country, and that brought about a change in mindsets, in thoughts, in understanding the magnanimity of the problems that exist. And, in the next 5, 10, 20 years' time, what could be the consequences, very, very dire consequences. And that's where that gave in that uptick, that start, the trigger that was needed for the country to come out with something bigger in regulations, something which can be achievable, something which, can be implemented at the ground level, and understanding of the stakeholders' responsibilities was a very, very key important factor. Hence, that brought about the change, and the recent rules or the draft rules that has been announced for multiple verticals has put the country in a very, very good spot, not only for the country, but also worldwide. The appreciation that GOI is getting in on the thought process of coming out with new regulations for the country, such a large country, and trying to implement it. I mean, hats off to GOI and the applause that we have received across the world for the new thoughts and new rules and regulations. So I'm very, very optimistic that the next 5 years' time, there will be a sea change that will actually come in because of these new rules that have been announced or are being announced currently.
Fair. And the current rules and regulations are actually more quantifiable, and they have given businesses set guidelines and a time frame for them to adopt. Now, I have to ask you this from a business perspective. While the entire policy and regulations were evolving in the last few years, you have been instrumental in setting up a couple of large recycling businesses in India. So how has that journey been in setting up businesses from grounds up during this time?
It's been a very difficult journey. I mean, doing business in India is not easy. And trying to be in a business or kickstart a business where 90-95% of the business is actually done by the informal sector, or if I were to say the unorganized sector, trying to get breakthroughs into this sector and try to become successful is not easy at all under any circumstances.
Correct.
And but slowly and steadily, understanding the business, understanding the product, understanding the needs that's there at the ground level, and trying to provide a solution for multiple stakeholders, including the so-called unorganized informal sector, is the key. And if somebody, businesses like ours, were able to actually include the unorganized sector, we went into a very inclusive model and trying to provide not only opportunities, but also without harming the livelihood of any of this unorganized or informal sector, we were able to accommodate them into our businesses and take them along. And that built in that trust and confidence that was required for that sector. Because there are millions of families out there who are in that sector, and we do not want to be the people trying to dislodge them from their jobs or the businesses that they're in. And hence, you know, we were able to do that. That brought in a sea change, and we were accepted by the society at large, and the trust and confidence over a period of time started growing. And that is the reason how I would say we are at a level where we are being welcomed by anybody and everybody in the country. And the same model is the one that the country also would require to be adopted, because you just cannot, this is not a product manufacturing job. This is not a business. This is not a product sales business. This is something which is so dynamic. It changes every day. And you need to have your eyes and ears on the ground on a daily basis, on a per minute basis. Only then you will be able to be successful. Hence, I would say that trying to build a very positive relationship and accommodating multiple stakeholders in the value chain, you know, has been the mantra which has helped us become successful till now.
That's very correct. Because as you rightly said, the entire business or a large part of the business is in the unorganized sector, and getting them onboarded in a platform, in a system, is the biggest challenge, like as you said. That brings me to my next question on how did you get this happen? Like, for example, when we talk about plastics is a big challenge, and so is e-waste. I mean, these two sectors, at least these two segments of the recycling value chain, there are a lot of players in the market now. So how did you kind of get the sector, unorganized sector, onboarded into your platform, and how does this happen?
See, the basic question is, you know, when you want to start a recycling business, you need to understand what is it that you have, what is it you are, and what is it that you can do. And it's not just the question of money, investment, capital, blah, blah. You know, it's the question of technology. It's the question of processes. It's the question of developing an upstream chain and the downstream chain. Now, how do you link all this is the question.
Correct.
And that is exactly what we did at the beginning, was to understand our limitations more than the strengths. And hence started small. We were there on the, what we started doing right from beginning is, on the one side, you know, we started working on R&D, because this being metals and materials which over a period of time is going to be received at our plants, we need to understand the material. Hence, knowing your material is going to be the key. Hence, slowly and steadily, at small scale, we started off small R&D projects simultaneously as we started growing in our business.
Correct.
We did not want to venture into all product categories. Hence, we picked our battles very clearly. We picked only those products where we are able to rotate the working capital faster, where we are able to offer solutions, and we are able to keep the ball rolling. And that is how we did for first 2-3 years' time. And we just wanted to survive. And that's where slowly and steadily the survival slowly brought us to the next level of challenges, saying that how do we upscale? And from there onwards, we started one product category addition at a time, understanding the product life cycle, the product complexities, the product, the materials, challenges that existed, the upstream and downstream. And then slowly and steadily, we started adding new product categories. And hence, you know, here we are, where we are, where we have around 9-11 verticals currently, I would say.
This reminds me of the conversation that we had off the record when we first met. I think that time I was more curious about the technology aspect of things, and I was asking you about what are the technology advantages that you have in your portfolio. Did you license any technology from any university? But then I think you did mention that you did try licensing, but it didn't work out for market conditions. Can you explain more on that?
I would say that in the recycling industry, licensing or let me put it the other way around. There is something called technology and there's another thing called processes.
Correct.
Now, people think that technology is the key. I would say, I would beg to differ there. Technology is a basic requirement, yes, but it is your processes which is going to determine your success in not only understanding the material, but processing the material that you get and trying to get the output that you would like to.
Correct.
So licensing in this industry, it's still not opened up worldwide, I would say.
Correct.
There are certain patents that have been registered, process patents out there in the waste management verticals. But when you're looking at the growth level of any recycler, firstly, they start off from a lab level or a very, very small level, I would say, entrepreneurial level. Then they go into a pilot level basis. Then you go into a commercial level, a small industrial level. Then you get into a large industrial commercial scale. That's the progress that any recycler would want to. And that's how we have progressed too. Now, in this entire journey, as far as technology and processes are concerned, you will have to find your own way. There are technologies and processes available out there where you can buy out. But trust me, nothing is in your control. You will have to find your own way as far as the type of material that you're going to buy or receive on a sustained pace throughout the year, the type and quality of the material that you're going to receive, because every day, every lot you receive is going to be different. Then comes in that technology and the processes where you'll have to make adjustments on a very, very continuous basis because there's no one standard process there. And then finally, the output that you're getting in, for whom are you wanting to get that output? In the sense that are you clear on what quality, if you are able to extract the resources from the material that you are recycled, what sort of a client would be willing to buy, the downstream clients, and at what prices or premiums? Now, they're understanding it. So this entire value chain, this entire process here is so complicated. A single licensing technology, patents would not suffice success of large-scale operations.
Very aptly put, because as you rightly said early on, that a large part of the recycling is like unorganized and you need to have the processes in place along with technology to kind of establish a business and run it profitably over a long time. That brings me to my next question, because you did say there are a lot of verticals, around 10, 11 verticals that you're currently operating, and it is emerging in a big way. Like for example, e-waste, plastics, batteries, new regulations around battery recycling. And all of this have critical minerals that people want downstream. People just want raw materials back, recycled back. So there is an increased demand because of recent geopolitics. Also, people have understood that we need to extract more from the waste that we discard. So is it right to say that there is a boom time for recycling market in general? Is it the right way to put it?
Yeah, see, the efforts that's been put in by GOI is to, on the basis of, on the directions of the Prime Minister, the Atmanirbhar Bharat programs, the various PLI schemes that's been announced, in ensuring that manufacturing increases in the country in a very big way. So all this is a welcome move. But as you said rightly, because of the geopolitical situations, very dynamic geopolitical situations, raw materials for manufacturing is going to be a very, very, very big issue going forward. And one of the ways how the country can become self-dependent to a large extent is encouraging recycling of in multiple verticals. The new rules has, in some cases, made it mandatory for producers to reuse the recycled materials as a percentage of the material mix there. The other other verticals, or I would say the other products, waste management rules that will be announced, or going forward, the reuse of recycled content in the new finished products will become mandatory in the next 3-5 years' time. So looking at the potential that exists not only for manufacturing, but also the mandatory clauses of reuse of recycled content, the recycling industry is in for a very, 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 you know, great time ahead as far as business opportunities are concerned. It not only is an opportunity for the recycling industry in multiple verticals to set shop and grow big, but also it brings in a lot of challenges. Okay. But I believe it's got an opportunity for India to showcase the ideal technologies that are required, if the same can be done at a very low cost, and the yields that are there to be shown at a very, very high, with a high quality. And that's an area where Indians are very technologically advanced. And I believe in the next 5-10 years' time, India would be at the helm of showcasing to the world of the strengths that it has got on technologies and processes as well as metals and materials are concerned through the recycling industry.
True. Now, as a market leader, Exico Recycling, you are kind of setting up new plans in across India. So what are your next big plans in general in terms of market capitalization? I'm sure since you mentioned about India being the showcase for recycling technology, I believe aspiring to be global is also something that you're looking forward in the next few years, if I'm right?
Yes, we, Exigo definitely will become a global player in the next few years' time, expanding operations to at least 10 countries.
Wonderful.
Now, to test the waters, we started working backwards that if we were to be across the world, what is it that a client would want or a government would want from a recycler? The solutions that are required is there is zero waste disposal that needs to happen from a recycler's facility.
Correct.
In the sense that any product that comes in, it is a mix of metals and plastics and rubber and, you know, in metals, ferrous and non-ferrous and your, you know, rare earth metals and critical raw materials and precious metals. So can you process anything and everything under one roof? That's the challenge which we took upon a few years back.
Interesting.
Now we are in a state to say that yes, in our flagship plant, we are showcasing the solutions that the world requires, because namely, let it be the base metals or the rare earth metals, or let it be the precious metals, we have in-house solutions. Plastics, in-house solutions. PCBs, in-house solutions.
Wonderful.
And including batteries, the lithium-ion batteries and EV batteries also, where we are able to recycle and refine and extract cobalt and lithium, manganese and nickel. And so currently we are at around 14 metals and we will be taking it up to 2022. So where we are pegging ourselves is we started off as a recycler. We started becoming a true last mile player for very many brands. And now we have transformed ourselves as a low carbon value chain materials company, where we have placed ourselves as the start of the supply chain, where we are able to give virgin metals and materials to downstream partners for our raw materials for manufacturing of new products. And hence, there are multiple plants where we are starting, we have expanded already in multiple verticals, and we will be getting into an hub and spoke model globally also very, very soon.
That's really interesting and very good to know that you have done it all in your facilities and you're scaling it up globally. And as you rightly said, probably hub and spoke model will be very interesting and very essential basically when you look at a large market like in India and when you especially look at multiple verticals. So that's very good to know. And we definitely look forward to hearing more about you. And I should admit that following your post on social media is definitely interesting. You do share a lot of insights. So I will definitely leave the link to connect with you on social media when the podcast is out. Sir, it's been an absolute pleasure having known you and following your work for the last few years. So thanks very much for taking time to join me on the podcast today.
Thank you very much, Girish.
That was a wrap on the feature segment for this week. Well, the recycling story will only get bigger in the next few years. And if you are planning to play a part on the business side of things, a lot of what was spoken by Rao will resonate with you. It is not just India specific, it will have global resonance. You should definitely follow Rao on social media to get more regular insights. I will leave the links to connect with Rao on the description of this episode and also on the website missionjunior.com. The recycling topic reminds me of a simple action item. Just segregate your waste before you discard them. Remember, as Rao mentioned, the process is key even at the consumer end. I will leave you on that note for this episode. I will be back in 2 weeks' time with yet another insightful conversation. Until then, this is Girish Shivakumar signing off. And as always, thank you for listening.
Hi, I'm Richard Karn, and you may have seen me on TV talking about the world's number one expandable garden hose. Well, the brand new Pocket Hose Copperhead with Pocket Pivot is here, and it's a total game changer. Old-fashioned hoses get kinks and creases at the spigot, but the Copperhead's Pocket Pivot swivels 360 degrees for full water flow and freedom to water with ease all around your home. When you're all done, this rust-proof anti-burst hose shrinks back down to pocket size for effortless handling and tidy storage. Plus, your super light and ultra-durable pocket hose Copperhead is backed with a 10-year warranty. What could be better than that? I'll tell you what, an exciting radio exclusive offer just for you. For a limited time, you can get a free pocket pivot and their 10-pattern sprayer with the purchase of any size Copperhead hose. Just text WATER to 64000. That's WATER to 64000 for your two free gifts with purchase. W-A-T-E-R to 64000.
By texting 64000, you agree to receive recurring automated marketing messages from Pocket Hose. Message and data rates may apply. No purchase required. Terms apply. Available at pockethose.com/terms.
Hi, I'm Richard Karn, and you may have seen me on TV talking about the world's number one expandable garden hose. Well, the brand new Pocket Hose Copperhead with Pocket Pivot is here, and it's a total game changer. Old-fashioned hoses get kinks and creases at the spigot, but the Copperhead's Pocket Pivot swivels 360 degrees for full water flow and freedom to water with ease all around your home. When you're all done, this rust-proof anti-burst hose shrinks back down to pocket size for effortless handling and tidy storage. Plus, your super light and ultra-durable pocket hose Copperhead is backed with a 10-year warranty. What could be better than that? I'll tell you what, an exciting radio exclusive offer just for you. For a limited time, you can get a free pocket pivot and their 10-pattern sprayer with the purchase of any size Copperhead hose. Just text WATER to 64000. That's WATER to 64000 for your two free gifts with purchase. W-A-T-E-R to 64000.
By texting 64000, you agree to receive recurring automated marketing messages from Pocket Hose. Message and data rates may apply. No purchase required. Terms apply. Available at pockethose.com/terms.